I extol those who with loving care and compassionate concern feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and house the homeless. He who notes the sparrows fall will not be unmindful of such service.
The Mormon Channel now presents Faith in Action. On Friday, March 11th, many of us woke to the news that overnight a major earthquake had struck the island nation of Japan. In the following hours, days, and now weeks, the devastation from the quake and resulting tsunami played out in front of our eyes. The images are hard to forget. A soup of debris flooding villages, destroying homes and cars in its path. A large tidal wave spilling over cement barriers. Boats crashing into bridges. People trapped in cars and on rooftops, pleading for rescue. Breached nuclear power plants threatening even more destruction. And the list goes on and on. For many of us, this disaster has tugged at our hearts and no doubt prompted mighty prayers of faith in behalf of the Japanese. For some, this disaster has been a call to action, a time to step up and help our brothers and sisters halfway around the world. Today, we join you from the Conference Center on Temple Square for this special episode of Faith in Action to talk about the disaster and hopefully inspire you to help your fellow man, no matter where the need is. I'm Robert Hendricks, and I'm joined today by three special sisters, Kazumi Pack, Hiromi Taylor, and Itsuko Chittister. The three of you represent probably thousands of others worldwide who have seen what's happening in Japan, and yet you decided to act here in Utah. We welcome you. And we're also joined by Ty Johnson. Brother Johnson is a manager over emergency response for the Welfare Department of the Church. Thank you, Brother Johnson, for being here as well.
Thank you.
We talk about a 9.0 magnitude earthquake, the epicenter just 45 miles east of Oshika Peninsula. Am I pronouncing that correct?
Oshika.
Okay, of the Oshika Peninsula, 20 miles under the ocean surface. This was the most powerful to hit Japan on record since the 1900s. The fifth most powerful in world history. The most powerful, a 9.5 in Chile in 1960. Let me ask Itsuko first about turning on the television, or did somebody call you and say there's been an earthquake in Japan? How did you find out about it?
Actually, I found out on Friday morning, like 10 minutes after midnight, which is, I think, most of people are asleep. But my friend, who is in California, was using the internet and looking at some information. Then she just found out that something happened in Japan. So she called me and asked me to turn on TV, Japanese station. So it was only like 10, 15 minutes after midnight, I turned it on TV. And it was a huge tsunami scene I saw, and I was in shock. Of course, I couldn't sleep for a long time.
Kazumi, how did you find out about it?
Okay, my husband woke me up in the morning and then watched TV, and then he turned on the TV and just looked like just a movie. I couldn't believe my eye. So, and I find out, and I just go downstairs and watch all the time the internet TV, the Japanese. Hmm.
Now, Hiromi, your parents are here visiting.
Yes.
And so this was kind of a triple deal for you. Did someone call and say, this had happened, or did you just hear it on the news? How did you find out?
We were watching the Japan TV that time. So, we watched the TV, and there was something else was on the show, but it's all of a sudden changed it to the tsunami scene. So when me and my father was first like, what is this? Well, my mom cried, of course, because all the TV shows the place is, they know where it's at. They got really shocked, and they really worry about their brothers and sisters, the friends and coworkers, and they still, well, my mother wants to go back to help them, but my uncle said it's nothing she can do right now because no way to go get in the city yet, and no food and no water. So it's she's not going to do anything right now. So
their home then is near Sendai, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you know whether that home is there or neighbors are there or anything about that?
Not really yet. But my aunt's house is gone, and her neighbors, we know three neighbors that died, and they're still looking for other neighbors too.
Sendai, a large modern city. I mean, is
yes.
it one that we would say it's kind of like Salt Lake, or it's kind of like Tokyo, or how would you compare that area to? It's maybe something around here that we might know about.
It's like maybe Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm. But
it's not like
size?
Tokyo. It's not like a Tokyo. But
so it's a large modern city then.
Yes.
I notice on the paperwork that I have, Itsuko, that you served in Japan in Sendai with your husband. It's been a few years ago, I understand. How many? 20 years ago?
23 years ago.
What would the changes be like in 20 years? Is this a part of Japan that stays relatively the same year after year? Could you go back and find it just the same as when you served your mission there?
It's different. It's been a long time. I actually haven't been back for 21 years. Mm-hmm. So, but I just saw the little city called Tagajo City. I lived as a sister missionary. Mm-hmm. That city was just whole city taken by tsunami, and now I know it's totally different.
When we first started seeing the aftermath, it was snowing, and I must admit I've never imagined snow in Japan except in the mountains. Is this a part of Japan that gets a lot of bad weather? This is a part
of
the country.
Yeah, the Sendai mission area is almost same as Utah. They have four seasons, but the winter time is very cold, and some area have lots of snow. It's taller than sometimes house, you know. It's very cold place for winter time.
They're always saying that this was used to be a fishing village.
Yes.
When we say a fishing village, is it one or two fishermen going out to fish, or is it large ships that are doing commercial fishing?
We have all some small company, but I think the one of the city, Kesennuma, is 70% people are fishery business. So they didn't only lost their life and house, they lost their work, business, everything.
It's hard to imagine waking up one morning and having absolutely nothing left. Nowhere to go, nothing to eat, no fuel, no way to keep you warm. The areas around Sendai and where the quake and the tsunami were the worst, were they generally a low-income type area or just a normal area?
Just a normal area. Mm-hmm.
So housing was nice, little villages were nice, stores, shops, whatever, just as you would find anywhere else in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah. It's almost the same compared to other area.
Sendai is pretty big city.
Big city, yeah.
And Tagajo and Shiogama and the little city around the Sendai. But those are all the cities really close to ocean. So,
do either any of you have anyone living there now that you've been able to talk to that's in the area?
I'm from Shiogama, which is like 15 minutes away by train from to Sendai. So I talked right after earthquake. Phone was still working. So right after earthquake, we were awake still, my mom and me. So we tried to reach my relatives. All my mom and dad's families still living in Sendai and Tagajo and Shiogama area. So we tried to call them. And we could just reach one. My cousin, my mother's older sister's daughter, and she was panicking on the phone, and she said, "Well, we need to try to go home because tsunami is coming." And I guess she was on the bridge, in the car. And she said she was so panicking. And she said, I can't reach my daughters, and I need to go back home and just cut it off. So we were so worried about them, and we couldn't reach them after that, like a week. So, but it was, she said, then now we start getting contact again. So my cousin said it was so scary, and my aunt's house is gone, and my other uncle's house, he still lived there, but it's, they need to fix, you know, the house a lot. So,
is the government promising help on restoring the homes? What is happening with that at the moment? What are they hearing about help that's coming?
That's what they're worried right now. They don't have not much information yet from government. So first they just thinking they're really grateful they got survived from earthquake and tsunami. But now they get really stressed and frustrating to what's going to happen because they lost house, work, because, you know, office is all gone, so they can't work anymore. And they don't hear anything from government yet. So they're really getting frustrated now.
Kazumi, I understand you have a friend who is trapped in her home in Fukushima. Is that correct?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Actually, yesterday I got an email from her. She said, oh, we got water now. I said, yay! So the 2 weeks, she didn't have any water. So that she said, I'm so glad for the water now. I didn't never think about the, you know, cut off the water line 2 weeks. She can't run away from the house because she doesn't have any gas. Well, I don't think any, but just a few gas in the car. So she said, if I go now, maybe the car stop nowhere else so that she can go, she can move from there. So she said, I just hang in there in my house.
Is there concern over the nuclear plant being close by?
Well, yes, of course. You know, she worry about everything, that even always the little earthquakes still coming. She said, I feel like a... what do you call it? Not car sick, like riding a boat all the time because always shaking.
Is that common still?
Yeah. She said, I feel like I'm drowning or something because it's all shaking all the time.
And the water that she's getting, would you not be a little afraid to drink it?
Well, government said okay. And they also test, of course, the government came to test the water. And her area, they said okay to drink.
You know, when I see on those TV, I have a Japanese TV station, so I can watch almost all day, all the information coming. And then I realized, of course, we need many big organizations in Japan helping, providing stuff. But even government recognize that individual volunteer work is such a huge part of, you know, amazing help in this kind of a situation. Because people's needs are, you know, city by city, all different. Some people are really hungry for information. More than anything, it scares them that no information. More than food. Some people describe that. I know I'm so hungry, I'm thirsty, but more I need is information. And some area really need those material things. And there are people in the shelter, they have some contact from government or other volunteer organization, but those are who didn't lose house and sitting, all neighbors are left, and there's only single old man and woman left and didn't know what to do. No one is around them. And those people who needs a medical appliance, they're having a hard time. And it's just, but the individual volunteer can visit each houses and ask individual needs. So really important, even just one person's help is so amazing. It's different. It's been a long time. I actually haven't been back for 21 years. Mm-hmm. So, but I just saw the little city called Tagajo City. I lived as a sister missionary. Mm-hmm. That city was just whole city taken by tsunami, and now I know it's totally different.
You all three decided when you got up that morning and found out what had happened in Japan. Do you know each other? Are you friends? Do you live in the same neighborhood? How did you decide? You did a yard sale.
Yeah, I'm sure there are all Japanese people in Utah saw that TV news, and everybody wanted to do something. And I was contacting with some return missionaries from Sendai and tried to contact with our former mission president, who is now second column of 70s, Elder Aoyagi. So his wife and return missionary, we started contact each other to do something. And then one day, Kazumi Park called me, said, she suggested, you know, I know we don't have many days to prepare, but now people's attention is very high. We got to start doing something. Now, how about the yard sale? So we, you know, by her suggestion, we quickly started organize yard sale.
How did you feel it went? What was the success?
It was amazing to us. We are Japanese. We came from Japan, and some Japanese-American people, they have a connection to Japan. But what, you know, made us feel so warm was those people in Utah, all American people, they came to us and telling us, thank you for doing this. They wanted to do something. And we raised, I think, a little bit over $16,000, which is amazing result for yard sale, especially Friday, Saturday was very freezing cold and windy weather. It wasn't really good weather for yard sale, but people came. Throughout the, you know, all the yard sale time, we saw almost same amount of people all the time.
Kazumi, people in your experience were buying things just to buy things to give you money, or what kind of a feeling did you get at this particular point?
More than just buy. Some people, of course, come in just, oh, yard sale type person, people, but most people come in that very, very, very generous. They buy the only the maybe $1 pen, and they pay them like $100, some people. So, and mostly people never connect any Japan, just that, you know, they feel, they watch the TV and they hurt, the feelings will hurt. We have to do something.
I saw a lot of people stop by the 2 days, like Friday and Saturday too. So I saw the same faces a lot. And some people donate the thing to we could sell, and some people buy a lot of stuff from us, and some people, like Itsuko said, just say thank you. You know, they're not Japanese people, but they just, you know, really say thank you to us to doing the yard sale.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Faith in Action on the Mormon Channel. Today we're talking about the recent disaster in northeast Japan, where an earthquake and tsunami left millions of people in desperate need for help. We have three Japanese-American sisters in our studio today, and Brother Ty Johnson joining us from the Church Welfare Department. What is the process? Let me ask Brother Johnson just for a moment. These sisters have done now a yard sale. They have generated some money. What happens now with that money? It goes to where in the church?
You know, often for events like this, where you would donate as the Church Humanitarian Fund, that's the fund that we draw from to respond to disasters anywhere in the world. And so cash donations like that allow us the flexibility to, you know, purchase materials or ship materials, whatever we need to do to help with that disaster.
They need blankets. They need fuel. They need food. How are we helping, the church, helping in this situation?
Those are actually some of the items that we have been focusing on. And, you know, what these sisters have said about the first few days with the communications disruptions and the road disruptions, it was difficult to get there. And then the gasoline shortage, the fuel shortage, made it really difficult. And so, you know, our members over there and the leaders came up with some creative ways. And one of the things they did is they bought a few scooters and were able, you know, they don't require as much gas, so they were able to get supplies out even on those scooters to some of the members in the hard-to-reach areas. We have been able to get a shipment of blankets, 15,000 blankets in from China that we have been distributing. And then I think even this coming week, the area is organizing an effort with many of the members from the, you know, many from the unaffected areas as well, coming together to put together hygiene kits, cleanup kits to help get to those members. At one point last week, they were so excited because they'd managed to procure 4,000 liters of gasoline, which was a big deal. That was a big triumph, if you will, to be able to help us get the supplies out of there, because I think the distribution for a while was even a greater challenge than the procurement of the supplies. And so this week we have seen it take off much more, and we've been able to get things out that in the first few days were tough to get out there.
And the disaster in Haiti, many people were living in ward buildings, church buildings. Is that happening in Japan now? Are we able, some of those buildings open for people to stay and keep warm? And
I think there's been some of that, but largely the government opened well over 2,000 shelters. And so, for instance, you know, one of the branch presidents in one of the most hard-hit branches, they found his family in one of the shelters. And so that has been wonderful. I think at one point there were about 500,000 people in shelters. As of today, I've heard that's dropped to about half that amount. But I think that's where a lot of them ended up going. You know, normally we will always try to rely on those types of shelters first and then the meeting houses as backups.
To those who are saying, I'm going to follow the lead of Itsuko and Kuzumi and Hiromi, and I'm going to maybe put together some kits rather than money, what do you say?
Well, the cash always allows us the most flexibility because, in a donation of an item like that, a kit, sometimes people don't realize there's an extra expense as well as time devoted to the logistics of getting those there. There's the shipping expense. There's the customs clearance expenses, et cetera, not to mention the time. And so if we're able to take the cash that they use to purchase those items and if they are donated in a cash form instead, that would then allow us to buy the items locally, which we can get more for our money as well as the much quicker response.
Let me ask, too, about the buildings. You mentioned there were earlier 23
yes,
buildings in that part of the country.
Of the 57
LDS church buildings.
Yes, of the 57 church buildings in the wider affected area, as they went through and made the assessment, they found that 23 of them had varying degrees of damage. And so the physical facility staff now in the area and also three from here at headquarters will be participating in a more careful assessment of those buildings so that they can see which ones are structurally sound.
How are they going to church? How are they finding a place to go? Are they a loose organization right now? Have you heard from anyone where they're being able to attend services?
They certainly had buildings in several of the meeting houses because the area presidency was able to go and make a visit in those areas and visit in at least six of the units. They were known to meet with the saints there. I know that in one of the little branches near the coast, when they went there, there was not anybody there. It had suffered some damage, and then they found the branch president and his family in a shelter. And so not all of the meeting houses are open, but there still are, you know, several. And so I would assume they would congregate in the ones that they can't use until the time that they've analyzed the other ones and determined if they can be reused or not.
Is there someone, Brother Johnson, who kind of champions this in the church? Is it when this happens, do we get up in the morning and they say, Brother Johnson, you're the lead on this, and have at it? Or is there a committee that works here at the church? How does that work to determine the needs?
Well, yes, you're going to have people appointed both at the area who would take the lead of this type of a response effort, as well as here at headquarters. We have a specialist, my colleague Nate Leishman, who actually is a return missionary from Japan, so that worked out wonderfully. And he has been there since just a few days after the quake because of something this magnitude. The area asked if he could go over there and help and advise them, and he's been there working with them. And so, you know, we get notifications here at headquarters as soon as something like that happens, and try to get in touch immediately with the areas. But it's, I think it's important for everyone to realize that it is the priesthood leaders in those areas who direct that response.
Kazumi, how do you feel every day when you get up? I mean, do you want to do more? Do you?
Of course, I want to do something more.
And so besides a yard sale, what do you do? Is that just it? I mean, is there other ways you can help? Can you?
We can do a lot of stuff. Like, you know, just to send the email to my friends, the victims. They say that, you know, the thank you, you know, that I always tell them, all my friends praying for you guys. So just hang in there. And even my friends in Japan, the Fukushima friend, she's not a member of this church. But she said, thank you. You know, that she said, I can hang in there because all my, you know, friends, and even I don't know who I never seen before, but pray for us. She always said, thank you. So that's, I think, the big help, too.
So just a word of encouragement helps you to feel better, and they as well, then.
But just like Kazumi said, I was so impressed with many emails I received from, of course, from church members or outside of church members. They are asking, they said, help. So I tried to see what they need. They are asking prayer the most, not the, like a food or water or money. I don't know, somehow, even this terrible situation, I started getting tons of spiritual message, which is when people can't reach anything, what they have is their heart and faith and prayer. And people, even outside of church, they recognize that, how big help it is. So prayer is a very small way to help people, but it is the biggest way to support people. And people in Japan feeling that right now.
Yeah. Romy, I see you're shaking your head. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Do you have friends that you've talked to or emailed or been in contact with?
Yes. I'm sending email every day to my relatives and friends, and some of them not I can be able to contact yet, but I still sending the email anyway to praying for them, and lots of people thinking about them, so, you know, hanging there and stuff.
I think it's important to remember, Ty, that Brother Johnson, that this aid that the church is giving is for everyone. It's not just for members of the church.
Exactly. In fact, that the humanitarian fund is largely spent on those who are not members of the church. You know, if you have a situation where you've had a member lose a home, which we certainly have had many members lose their homes, these types of disasters, you know, often that will come from the, you know, any assistance given to members is at the bishop's discretion to use through fast offering funds. And so the humanitarian fund is, you know, was created and exists largely for the relief of everyone that may suffer something like this. And it's not one that's directed toward members of the church, although in a case like this where a disaster has affected, you know, many members and non-members alike, you know, the types of supplies and things like that that we would procure would go to everyone, members and community alike.
It's time then to think about when that fast offering slip comes around in the next week or so. On the bottom, there's a blank that says humanitarian fund.
There is. Mm-hmm. There is. I think it's important to point out that, you know, a disaster like this causes that starts coming to everyone's mind. How can I donate and things like that? But it's important, I think, to point out that because of the cumulative generosity of the saints over the years, we have been able to prepare and to put ourselves in a position that we can respond to disasters like these. So it's, you know, often you don't see the church come out with a drive saying, please, please, you know, help us support Haiti or help us support Japan, because the resources that allow us to do that have been built up and continue to be built up because of the continued generosity of the saints.
But on the other hand, a little extra won't hurt.
Oh, absolutely. It's you know, certainly what these sisters has done is admirable, and I think that all of us appreciate what you have done for your brothers and sisters in Japan.
Can you designate where those funds go when you donate? Can you say, I want them to go to Japan, or is it just go into a pot somewhere and it's divvied up?
You can earmark it. The disadvantage to that would be, for instance, if in a certain disaster that we receive an excess of donations for that particular one, and then let's say we have a disaster in another part of the world that may not be as widely publicized, but yet funds are needed for that one. If they're earmarked for a particular fund and there's an excess there, we would not be able to draw from that excess for another disaster. So by just giving a general donation, it allows it allows the church to be able to funnel those dollars where they're most needed at any given point in time.
Brother Johnson, anything that I've missed that you want to touch on today?
I don't think so, other than the tremendous appreciation that those of us who work in humanitarian feel for the support of the saints. It's just a continuous support and generosity. And whenever something like this happens, there's just an outpouring of love and prayer. And we're very privileged to be close to that and be able to see that.
Sister Etsuko, before we begin, I ask if one of you wanted to give a little message, a little personal message in Japanese to those who may be listening, and they both pointed to you as the official spokesperson. Would you like to do that now for us?
Okay.
Go ahead.
あの、被災地の皆さん、そして教会の皆さんに私たちから特別なメッセージがあります。今こちら、ユタに住んでいて、あの、和美姉妹、またひろみ姉妹、多くの日本人の 人たち、教会の、まあ、内外を問わずですね、多くの人たちが一緒になって、現金を集める活動をしていますけれども、日本人や日本にコネクションのある人だけではなくて、たくさんのユタに住むアメリカ人の方たちが涙を流しながら私たちを抱きしめてくださったり、多くのお金を寄付してくださっています。本当に皆さんは一人ではありません。私が皆さんにね、お願いしたいことがあります。神様は、 逆境の中にでも、またどんな最悪の事態からも最善のものを引き出す力を持っていらっしゃいます。そして私たち一人一人の人の心は、本当に私たちが正しいことに、目を向けていれば、どんな苦しい中からでも最善のことを引き出すことができます。信仰の力というのは、どんな苦しい悲しい中にあっても、 人の愛や感謝やそういうものを感じることのできる力こそが信仰の力です。今世界中が皆さんに目を向けています。私は被災地の多くの方々に心から感謝をしたいし、また彼らをとても誇りに思っています。今世界中が皆さんが水や毛布やいろんな配達を待っている中でも争ったりせずに、また利己心を克服して、 他の傷んでいる人々のことを思いやりながら、マナーを守って、援助を待っている姿をたくさんの人が目にしています。そして皆さんが、こんな中にあっても、強盗とかですね、悪い事件とかがたくさん起こらずに、助けようとしている姿に世界中が感動しています。どうぞ今、多くの人が皆さんのことを祈っていること、そして皆さんの痛みを共感していること、 そのことをどうか感じてください。そして私たちはできる限りのことをして皆さんを応援し続けていきます。で、私たちが一時も忘れず皆さんのことを祈っていること、どうか忘れないでください。そしてみんなで頑張りましょう。日本は戦後の大変な時期もまた阪神大震災もいろんな時に乗り越えてきました。 私たちは乗り越える力があります。みんなで心と手を一つに合わせれば必ず克服できると信じています。一緒に頑張りましょう。
I see tears in the eyes of all three of you. Could you summarize that in a few words for us so we know the message that you just gave?
I just told them that the Heavenly Father has an amazing power to bring best thing from the very terrible situation, and power of faith is to feel gratitude and love and peace even though we are in a terrible situation, and power of prayer is the smallest way to support each other, but it is the biggest way to help each other.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on Faith in Action. This has been an important discussion about what's going on in Japan. We hope you felt inspired to keep these people in your prayers, and where possible, help the church physically provide aid to assist in the recovery there. As we've learned from these three sisters today, our Heavenly Father will always guide and bless your efforts to help your fellow man. To learn more about this program and others that we offer on the Mormon Channel, visit our website at mormonchannel.org. If you have questions or an idea you'd like us to explore, please email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. And join us again next time on Faith in Action.